I'm Rudy Roe Dallaflo Bigliani, along with my partner Telly TJ Vangeli. This is Cross Vegas. After years of sowing seeds of faith as up-and-coming televangelists, TJ and I crashed into our new endeavor of being social mediators for the kingdom right here in Las Vegas. We're demonstrating the blessing that he wants for you in our latest project of prosperity at Cross Vegas. Come join us as we bring the redemption of riches to the Sin City. Remember, what happens here stays in heaven.
And now, a word from our sponsors.
Picture this. You're single, you're childless, you're between 22 and 36, and you're a smoking hot conservative Christian. Where do you go to find a date these days?
Ugh, tell me about it. I've tried all the dating apps, and I just can't find someone who shares my values, my faith, and my taste in firearms.
You need to try Plenty of Fish in the Barrel, the only Christian matchmaking service that connects people online based on an analysis of the shared characteristics of the weapons in your gun safe. So, what are you looking for in a man?
I would love to date a guy who goes to church, but will occasionally miss church because of hunting, but then claim he went to church anyway because he listened to a podcast in his duck blind. He should be 6 foot, full head of hair, has like 4 or 5 Colt 1911 single action revolvers, a Stevens Model 94, Remington 700, Beretta 92, a set of 155mm howitzers, an anti-satellite electromag pulse, and an Apache attack helicopter.
Whoa, a few of those things aren't even guns, but I like the attitude. Got any red flags or deal breakers?
I can't stand it when a guy says he has a man cave, but then it's not a cave at all. No vaulted ceilings, no secret hangar for his F-22, no ammo depot. Oh, and he really should love animals. If we're gonna get serious, you have to have space to care for and feed my falcons, my full herd of Mongolian warhorses, and a room entirely dedicated to my reticulated pythons.
Well, you've got very specific requirements, but what the heck, it's worth a shot. What's your perfect date?
Just something simple, like watching Shark Tank. But really, you should have your own tank full of sharks, where you can dangle your enemies and tell them your secret plans. I'm looking for a man who is strong enough to dangle my enemies over that Shark Tank, too. We'd finish off the evening with something fun and simple, like a hockey game. But when they do the national anthem, everyone turns towards you and does the salute that you taught them.
Plenty of Fish in the Barrel. The dating app to use when you're tired of firing blanks into the heavens. Look, lady, we really try to downplay the whole supervillain angle.
Feed my falcons?
Let's get back to the part where we're collecting Civil War era pistols together.
No.
Oh, come on.
No.
No, really, come on.
Well, hello there, dear listeners, wherever you may be across these fruited plains, we'd like to welcome you in here to Cross Vegas. I'm here with my partner in the promised land, TJ, and we are coming at you straight from Space City, Las Vegas. TJ, my brother, how are you today?
The City of Mystery, here we are in Las Vegas, which has taken on new prominence nationally, globally, interglobally, as the days go by. It's a swing state. It's a swinging state. It's got everything. I'm so happy to be here, Rudy, with you today. We have so many great things to get into.
That's right, TJ. I don't know if I've ever been more humbled and yet proud to launch a new ministry product. But one thing I really want to do to kind of get us into the proper space to talk about what we're going to talk about today is to respond to some of y'all who've been reaching out to us on social media. I feel like that would be the best way to really usher in this episode.
You know, we read every comment. We click on every mention and accidentally like our own posts by doing that, and then we unclick that to unlike it again, because to do otherwise would be fraud. But then we go through and we confirm who has reacted and in what manner to every post we do on every platform. And sometimes people leave comments, and we want to respond to those as well and be responsive to your needs as our listeners and fans. So we were looking through socials the other day. We found some posts that were obvious and some posts that were cryptic, and we kind of made a combination response to the cryptic and the obvious at the same time. So Good Friday Inside Job 777 was wondering, how can we get an easier, more intimate access for those members who are on our Patreon, who are on that inside circle of televanfluencing for Christ? And that got us thinking along one direction. Okay, how do we give that intimate, just up-close access all hours of the day and night? And then we've seen some comments from folks like Waterboard for the Lord 69, and some of what they've been putting is stuff like just an eggplant and a question mark. We're thinking, what can this mean? This person must have meant something, and we've been Googling that. Some of that was helpful. Some of it indicated some need for, frankly, some spiritual guidance in confession and repentance for Waterboard for the Lord 69. So we have a new service we're rolling out, a new spiritual product, because we just can't hide our big book energy under the bushel any longer. We are rolling out today the new model, Holy Fans.
That's right. Holy Fans, we are so excited about this. I want to take a moment as well to read something that I think would kind of brings us right into it. And this is an X post, formerly Twitter. This is from Pastor_Magatron_69. We can learn a lot from someone's handle. You know, I'm judging that this gentleman, Pastor Magatron's 55 years old, born in 1969. So this is helping me out, kind of giving me a framework for where he's coming from here. He writes, y'all at Cross Vegas FML, and for the learned, that's Fantastic Ministry Leaders. These cyber sex, dem guys straight capping. What I wouldn't give for 5 minutes alone with them in a dark alley. And I don't know if y'all picking up what Magatron is throwing down, but I really appreciate that sweet message. I can tell this 55-year-old, born in 1969, is a real student of the word, to allude to that sweet moment in John 3 when Nicodemus was able to corner Jesus in a dark alley to have that tender moment that eventually gave us John 3:16. So to fellow Pastor Magatron, _69, and all the other dear listeners and followers, we come here today to really fulfill your requests. To be honest, the rigors of this ministry are sometimes more than we can handle. I gotta be honest. We sometimes feel, as that little Bimbo Baggins said in the Lord of the Fellowship of the Ring, that we're like butter scraped over too much bread. But we feel like, just as Jesus looked over a few loaves and a few fishes and saw the hungry crowd who wanted greater access to him, that we see you. We know your need for an ultra connection and for premium content. And that's why today we really want to tell you about our most exciting way that we can connect with you. More than just a podcast platform that we have, and more than all these other incredible ministry opportunities that we lay in front of you, but this Holy Fans is exclusive, it's premium, and it really is the most intimate way that we can connect with y'all. So this subscription is in response to so many things, but one thing being the countless times, and I say countless because we haven't or we can't take the time to count them, but countless requests for emergency prayer sessions with one of us or with both of us together, praying right there in front of you if you're kind of into that sort of thing.
Yeah, so when it's 2 a.m, you send us a you up text. Well, we, in any state of dress or undressed, will answer to that spiritual thirst and your premium subscription payment that signals your deep and abiding faith. Yeah, all our gifts are going to be on display, and we will hop right on that live, cam stream and hook up with you as a solo session or as a couple. Either way, we will give you that emergency session that you've been asking for.
That's right. And I can't tell you the number of times, well, mostly because no one said this publicly, but in my heart, I sense it. I can't tell you the number of times people have asked for that 24/7 emergency communion session. So that's another bit here. Maybe they don't have the proper elements, but we can bless that in-flight Biscoff cookie and that Diet Coke, turn it into the you cherished, and give you that type of experience if that's what blows your hair back.
You know, maybe what you need from us is some objective third-party decision-making help, kind of like an executive coach. So what we're offering, too, is just as it says in Proverbs 16:33, a lot is cast into the lap, but its every decision is from the Lord, which is sort of a global validation of gambling. But specifically, it helps us know that when we throw that dice into our laps and zoom that streaming cam in real close, we'll see together what the Lord hath brought and see what kind of insights we can get out of whatever numbers are showing up top.
Yeah, I really think the casting lots thing is so important because there's so many interests out there and so many different points of view. You know, you might be a New Testament cessationalist, and if you're into that sort of thing, but you also might be an Old Testament sensationalist. And so I feel like we can kind of tiptoe around that and give you that lot casting ceremony just for you.
You know, if that's what you're into.
Every day of every week of every month, we sense in our spirit through indirect messages on Twitter or the X that people out there need an outlet for an on-demand confession. You know, you done something, your conscience bothering on you, you need to get that wiped clean. So you can do so on Holy Fans with this premium access.
Yeah, we'll hear those midnight confessions and, you know, for a fee, we'll tell you some of ours as well. Kind of like an iron sharpens iron situation. It's not like you go into that mafioso confessional booth and you just say stuff that makes that priest blanch and then he doesn't really say anything back at you. If we done the same thing you done, we'll tell you and we'll share that camaraderie. We'll have that sword fight with you. You know, you show me yours, I'll show you mine. And we are always down to forgive.
Absolutely. And we're always down to be authentic. You know, we tend to spread our seed quite wide. You know, we have a lot of charismatic followers who are looking for an on-demand prophecy. We've been hearing a lot about that. We can give you an on-demand prophecy. Maybe you got a big decision. Maybe you need a window into the future to settle a disagreement. Maybe your soul's aching about whether to take the Cowboys and the points, or do you ride with the Redskins? Oh, sorry about that. I mean the Washington Commander Redskins, you know, that kind of stuff, just the real important decisions.
And when we do those private prophecy sessions, it's really private, and we take that very seriously. So we'll be recording and automatically transcribing all our sessions and storing those on our desktop in plain text so that our prayer box can get a hold of them and post about your needs on all the X, the Threads, the Insta, the Snaps, all the good places. It'll be 100% private, not disclosed to anyone else.
That's right. All you need is a good video chat on your phone or your tablet or your computer. If the premium personal one-on-one thing ain't your cup that runneth over, then we are pleased to have some other offerings as well. Of course, the number one being our Patreon access to our podcast, where you can watch the podcast via our security camera feed, and then you just simply sync it up with the audio from wherever you get your podcast, and that's a real easy way to kind of get an inside track into our ministry.
Yeah, you might have to tap the 10 seconds backwards, 10 seconds forwards, 15 seconds backwards, kind of do that 5, 6, 7, 8 times, and you should have it just about right, at least enough for kind of like a Godzilla overdub effect.
In addition to all this, you have access to our Amazon wish list, where you can contribute directly to our material needs and feel the satisfaction that you were the one, for example, to get us that mega pack of quadruple ply toilet tissue. Or you could be the one to get us that Blu-ray disaster double feature, Armageddon and Deep Impact. Or you could be the one with the satisfaction that you provided for our very physical needs so that we could stay warm in the winter months with a genuine denim Looney Tunes jacket from the WB store. Just some examples that are on our wish list.
Yeah, month-long supply of Honey Nut Cheerios, you know, like a recurring reorder of men's multivitamins and niacin. Maybe some used auto injectors that we'll refill and reuse ourselves for our various medicinal purposes that we always have going on. There's a lot on there, and that gives you a way to exercise your gifts of generosity in appreciation for our gifts of all the aforementioned services.
Yeah, sometimes it's just so much more satisfying to get someone the real material gift and not just the money. So we honor that too. And of course, with premium access on Holy Fans, you have the opportunity to bid to buy actual Bibles that we've used in our other media appearances. For example, you could use the camouflage man-themed NTKJV that was in my very back pocket during our Super Holy Sunday Glory Bowl party. Or you can purchase the white oversized family Bible used in our showdown with the magicians of Las Vegas, if you're into that sort of thing.
Yeah, these will be dog-eared all up and down around the prosperity passages, smeared with our fast food fingers on our most special verses, and then just highlighters of various colors streaked in every direction across these things. And you will know that these are our genuine, personally touched, personally used Bibles. One last service that we got here. If you are like us and you just can't get it off your conscience in spite of taking advantage of that monthly subscription where you got access to the Midnight Confessions, or the annual subscription where you got access to the prophecy sessions, or the eternal lifelong subscription that's got you access to all these, we got one more for you, which is really when you've been doing stuff like you realize you watched home improvement reels for 11 straight hours instead of getting your kids to or from school, or you bought 100 battery-powered immersion blenders on the Home Shopping Network instead of 10. You know, we've all been there. And something that really will help your conscience is what we're calling the Proud Protestant Penance Payment. It's sort of a luxury tax for some choice sins, like a courtesy shot or a golfer's mulligan, where we will say, we'll sell you some of our crypto. We're trying to change that back into cold hard currency these days at a totally fair rate. And we'd love to give you that penitential experience that just reassures you that you are on the right track. You know, you have given voice to those dark secrets, and now you're unworking them through our exclusive crypto buyback program.
That's right. And if you have questions about how this all works in a very specific situation, you can feel free to reach out to us on social media. Just make sure to hashtag that thing, Penance Payment, and then we'll know where to find it so we can answer your question. We are so excited about Holy Fans. Tell your friends, get everybody signed up, and we cannot wait to see you face to face on the computer or phone screen.
Well, Rudy, in the hurricane's eye of permanent summer climate change, we here in Las Vegas have a new, equally permanent pool party put on by Sammy Hagar, Van Halen's newest member. It's called Sammy's Island. How do we get in there? And once we do get in there, to whom do we bring the good word of evangelism?
Well, I'm going to keep this one quick. I think this is awesome. So I'm going to say it right off the top that I think it's turnt that Sammy's got himself a permanent pool party. And, you know, we've been trying for a while to get ourselves the right sort of context and location and situation for a Sunday morning service. I know a lot of people have been asking us about that. but we need to find the right way to do it. And it's great to see someone creating a context for us to minister in. You know, where would Paul be without a Mars Hill to preach at? So I'm really excited about this because I think we can convince Sammy that we could have a party at the Palms preaching the Psalms.
Ooh, I love that. And I think we'll go in there like Samson between the pillars, bringing down the house. So this one is turnt all the way. We got a new movie that's just been announced. Passion of the Christ 2, Resurrection. Rudy, is this turnt or burnt?
Well, TJ, my response to Passion 2 is, I love it. I mean, Passion 1, I was on the edge of my seat. It was a thriller. No idea what was going to happen next in those scenes, and I have no idea what will happen in this sequel. I think the script's been under wraps for good reason. Given that William Wallace is, again, the director and writer, he can go a lot of different directions. I'd love to see William Wallace drop a few callbacks to some of his other films like Arnold Schwarzenegger used to do. You know, obviously we know Morgan Freeman will play the role of God, and he could say something like, "They may take Jesus' life, but they can't take his freedom." And then he could drop a, "Give me back my son," like from that movie Ransom. That'll be cool. So all the way turned up on this Passion 2.
I saw that plot kept under wraps reference on IMDb. And honestly, it was kind of a pun that was unworthy of such an august website. It was sort of a low blow at the buried mummy of Jesus. To be saying that. I didn't think they were served, though, by announcing the title so quickly. Like, you got Passion 1, Crucifixion, Passion 2. Well, what's it going to be? Is it going to be Revenge of Jesus? I mean, they could have gone a lot of different ways. Maybe this one's going to be kind of like The Empire Strikes Back of the trilogy. Sort of the darker, more serious sequel. I'd love to see where they go with that. Maybe they'll kind of wrap Forever Young, Mad Max, and The Patriot all together into one film. That's what I'm hoping. When you got Braveheart directing and writing, you know he's going to be drawing on some of that past work. I did hear one thing confirmed, though, which is that Jim Caviezel is going to be rehashing his starring role as Jesus from 20 years ago. And I just got to say, I respect that craft, that method acting where he's going to be unrecognizable as a man after 20 years, which is going to give a whole new flavor to that Road to Emmaus situation where the disciples just don't even know who Jesus is. And I've never understood that passage till now.
But, you know, I do wonder, you know, in terms of the IMDb page, if they're going to reveal that God is the actual writer of the film, or if that is also kept under wraps. That'll be interesting to see how that moves forward.
Well, good. We are turning that volume all the way up in anticipation of the big orchestral start of that movie. We love it. We're hoping the best for this. Not too late. There's probably still some post-production going on if they want to wrap in a couple of those Revenge of Jesus ideas we've been emailing to the studio every couple of weeks. Next up on Turnip Burnt, we have Pastor Greg Locke making a big connection between autism and demonization. Is this Turnip Burnt?
Oh my goodness, y'all, I really want to slow down on this one and make sure everyone understands me correctly, because I feel like this is one of the most insensitive things I have ever heard coming from an American pulpit. I mean, honestly, this makes me sick. And if a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand. That's what it says in Mark 3:25. So, I wanted to say it right now in front of all y'all. We in Las Vegas have a lot to say about this topic because in 1988, one of the founding fathers of this very town, Mr. Raymond Babbitt, who had a case of autism, went to Las Vegas with his brother Charlie, and the Lord blessed them with an incredible run at the blackjack tables. And we have attempted to follow in the footsteps of Raymond in pursuit of the riches that the Lord has laid on these brothers. How dare Pastor Greg Locke demonize something that the Lord has blessed? And you don't call something unclean that the Lord has called clean. So I'm going to obviously call this thing Bert.
Yeah, it sounds like Greg Locke, whoever he is, it sounds like he's one of these woke AF liberal pastors who would never darken the door of a patriot church. He's been all super controlling. I heard he's not letting people get vaxxed in his church. He is shutting down the hopes and dreams of those entrepreneurs and hustlers like us who are getting hundreds of vaccines in hopes of getting autism. And not everyone loves autism as much as we do, but that's part of the source of our competitive advantage in ministry and business. And we got people out there running around like turkeys with their waddles cut off trying to avoid catching autism, and we instead are hanging out everywhere there might even be a whiff of those fumes to try to deepen our cases. Rudy, I mean, this goes deeper. Motives are everything, right? Like, we're not trying to get autism for the fancy headphones. We're not trying to get autism for the sensor deprivation tank access. We're not trying to get autism for the pull chain cattle hugger apparatuses. We're trying to get autism to get rich. And if you got someone out there saying, oh, well, everybody who's got autism has been demonized, well, I say we turn that around into a proud label and say, yes, we've been demonized. We've been ostracized. We've been canceled. We can take the heat, just like Jesus said. The persecution is coming, and woe to him by whom that persecution comes. So I say, Greg, if you are trying to keep us all from being rich and truly free, then you are locked down as your last name.
My, oh my, TJ, we're really getting all hot and bothered about this, ain't we? I like hearing you get your hands dirty deep into that biblical soil right there. So as many of you know, a Las Vegas farmer was digging for garden soil, found himself some mammoth teeth. One thing led to another. Time goes by, the property turns into an Indiana Jones dig, and then, wouldn't you know it, prehistoric man-made stone tools are found here in Las Vegas. So obviously, this is incredibly controversial. TJ, are these prehistoric man-made tools turnt or burnt?
Oh, these are turnt all the way up. Well, as most of you will remember, we've been meeting up with our Indian American club for some time now, and as soon as we heard about this archaeological dig and the huge controversy around it, we expanded that club to be a Paleo Indian American club. And we've been learning everything we can about this this people group, this Clovis people, who've been around for 12, 13,000, 14,000 years, eating mastodons and mammoths. I mean, talk about the original paleo diet right there. It's like a barbecue-only, technologically advanced hunter-gatherer society.
That's right. The Liver King ain't got nothing on these guys.
I feel like we got so much to learn from these paleo Indians because they're like the real American originals, like the natives of their native land here. And they can teach us about really what's missing from the modern American young man's life. You're out hunting ancient proboscideans, glympodonts, and laminoid camelids with your bros, carrying around only a few lithic flute-pointed spears between you, and then stumbling on a forgotten cache of bone shaft wrenches and celebrating getting a little buzzed on fermented giant sloth marrow around the campfire every night. If we could insert that back out of the ancient American past into the current American current, we would be a totally different country.
And I'm just really celebrating that this event has really caused a huge spotlight for Americans to be turned onto that Clovis era, that time period, as you like to call it, the native of the Native Americans. For me, I'm more of an early Clovis, pre-Clovis fan. So some of the arguments a bit over my head. I don't really have too much knowledge about the mid-Clovis era or the late Clovis for that matter as well. I'm more of early Clovis, you know, these were the type of folks that would coax a mammoth into a pit, hit it with some rocks. And so the finding the stone tools happened a little later. All in all, I'm just, it's so turnt because this is truly stuff that we can learn from and celebrate.
I think we're a little different on our Clovis perspectives because I'm a real big fan of the overkill hypothesis for the Pleistocene megafauna extinction. But you can hardly even mention that online without some pedantic Clovis first paradigmaticians shouting you down with plausible sounding counterclaims involving the Laurentine ice sheet and the Chilean Monteverde dig site findings. But anyway, I would love to see science come through with a big win for Las Vegas in this case, because if we can prove that we in Las Vegas have the original Clovis people, then we can see that Las Vegans are the very first Americans, the truest natives of these fruited plains, and the rightful lords and ladies of the entire continent.
Amen, as it should be. I love that. So our next topic here on Turn to Birds is a high-speed train that is being built between Los Angeles and Las Vegas. TJ, is this Turn to Bird?
You know, in our capacity as the city council members, after the council was only partially dissolved and no one ran for re-election except us, and then we won. Now, this is something we're kind of tangled up in. Public transit and the evils thereof. I think the main problem here and why this is burnt is that we don't know what kind of folks will come in the train. Are we talking like NPR tote bag people? Some like regular Joe businessmen? Some Europeans? Like a whole new class of normies that we don't know how to deal with. And that's got me concerned, because that's going to kind of mess up our city in a sort of keep Vegas weird kind of way, right? Like, we need to figure out first before we build the high-speed train, like, what kind of immigration caps and ratios and stuff we're going to do here, so we make sure there's still room for the drifters, the card counters, the day traders, the strippers, and the televangelists.
Oh, absolutely. I have very similar feelings about how this is going to really upset the demographics of this fine city. But as I pull back, I mean, first of all, I think I want to establish that I love to see the United States, I mean, greatest country in the world, leading the way in train technology. You know, don't get me wrong, no one will ever confuse the mighty United States of the USA. No one will confuse us with being the caboose of train technology. I love to see good old Americana setups in the basements up and down the suburban homes of this country with all manner of electronic switches showcasing OO and HO scales of train setups. I mean, that stuff is cool. So to all my train enthusiasts and rail grinders out there, hats off to y'all. But when it comes to actual real trains, there's a reason I think this high-speed train into Vegas is burnt. I mean, as you said, trains attract a certain type of person. There's a lot of talk in this country about how immigrants are pouring into our towns to intercept your ballots and your pets and your manhood, and all that's true. But trains attract two types of people. The first is Ivy League, East Coast, Anglo-Saxon and name-only communists. And the other type are Ivy League, East Coast, Anglo-Saxon and name-only European communists. Both of these groups are strong advocates for illegal immigrants. Immigrants are kind of like our crosstown rival. You know, what are you without that team that you can beat on homecoming? You know, so we do need our immigrants. We need them in a certain type of dose. But I think this high-speed train is going to really mess it up. And all these advocates are going to be pouring onto that train. And before you know it, this place is going to be as communist red as China.
Yeah. And what about the culture we have to preserve? You know, people coming in on the trains, they're going to be listening to their podcasts. They're going to be reading a book. You ever seen someone try to read a book on a Harley? Like, the only thing those guys can read is speedometers and fuel gauges, and I want to preserve that specific literacy. I don't want to see all these folks who are like, oh, I just finished a classic novel, let's talk about it. Like, that sounds like a nightmare to me.
Absolutely. Keep that stuff to yourself. I mean, I know what you're talking about. Those types, they're all up into their books and their podcasts, thinking that that's going to be some way for them to solve the future and to gain leverage on their life.
Well, I'm glad to see we got agreement there. I'd say the next topic is one where the agreements are going in every which way, so much so that they might be like an agreement of disagreements here. Dictator Nick Maduro, the current El Presidente of Venezuela, has decided to move Christmas up to October. Rudy, what do you think about this?
Well, you know what they say, nothing good comes out of Venezuela, except for a couple of pitchers in the American League. President Saint Nicolas Maduro so in favor of Christmas that he wants to kick off the holiday season with it in October. I mean, this is amazing. We all know holiday season starts with the important American religious holiday of Halloween, which, when you think about it, is a bit weird that we start our holy days with candy and ghosts, but obviously both biblical, and we run with that, and we know that. So I really do respect the hustle and prioritizing Christmas so that people are at full strength when they celebrate and they're not already all tuckered out and tired out by the time we get to December 24 and 25. So for that reason, surprisingly, I'm going to have to say it's turn.
Yeah, I do like it when our message is heard by those who are in power. And I think that Maduro must have heard our episode about taking back Halloween for Jesus. And he got saved, and he decided to use his unlimited local power to notch another victory in the cosmic culture war. And right now, I mean, Christian Halloween, which is All Saints Day on November 1st, or Dia de los Muertos, like the day after Halloween, and no one cares. But it's kind of like those first in the country primaries. All of a sudden, you never heard of Iowa or New Hampshire before, never been there, never thought twice about them, but oh, they're the bellwethers of the election for the primaries or something. That makes them important. So I'm thinking we should, in our capacity as city councilors, propose that Nevada have the first in the country Halloween on October 30th, which will also be Christmas, in a nod to Maduro. Hallow Christoween's Eve. And we're not celebrating with some ancient abuela skeleton. I think we want to celebrate with the skeleton of Santa Claus, with his great big belly bones jangling around while he dumps orange and black wrapped saltwater taffies into your Christmas stocking.
That's delicious.
All right, Rudy, one more bullet left in the Turnt or Burnt machine gun magazine, which is there's a Swiss politician who was caught shooting at pictures of Jesus and Mary, and then in kind of a twist was forced to resign by her fellow communists from her party and her political post. Is that turnt or burnt? It goes in a couple of ways here. We might do a multi-turnt, multi-burnt bit on there, or kind of a matrix of turnt versus burnt along the XY axis.
Naturally, a couple questions come to mind. What kind of gun was being used? And in what spirit was the gun being used? And I think we'd have to bring this individual in a room and have a talk to really find that out. So I'm reluctant to give a hard and fast opinion on that, because I feel like one of the most honoring things you can do is to enjoy a weapon with someone. Obviously, I would assume that this person is in some way trying to reach out in a spiritual way to God through Jesus, and did so by communicating with a firearm. And so if that's the way that it was done, then we could say perhaps it's turnt. I'm also reluctant to call something burnt that involves a firearm, especially in a place like Europe where we know that guns, they've taken them all away. Guns are prohibited. And so that's why in Europe, you just see the police running around with them billy clubs and they just beat people down because they've lost their amendment rights in Europe. But I'm curious what your take is on this, TJ.
Yeah, I feel like some characters in this story are playing against type, like her fellow communists caused her to resign for being disrespectful to religion. I mean, that sounds like they're double agents in the background there somewhere, and not, that could really be turned in a whole other way if the Communist Party leadership in Switzerland are really actually secret Catholics or something like that. You know, sometimes that happens. So that would be turned. Also, I think it's a broader philosophical question we got to go into here, which is like, can shooting a picture hurt it? If it's Alexander Hamilton on the money and you shoot off both serial numbers, that has hurt that picture. That has definitely come through and hurt that. So on that step, I guess maybe this is a halvesy, half and half. It's turned around halfway, but it's a little on fire still. But it may just be one more step of escalation between the performative atheists and the performative religious fundamentalists. But we'll proudly take the bait, pick up that gauntlet. We're going to hit the Goodwill down on Maryland Parkway, buy up all the Nine Inch Nails CDs they have left, and set them on fire all over again. There is a new drug scourge, a drug epidemic sweeping the nation. You know what I'm talking about. It's the weight loss drugs, Ozempic, the other GLP-1s, semaglutides. They cost a fortune. They're going to tear our country apart. You know, we're just barely hanging on by the love handles as it is. So I am thinking this is a 3-4 horseman because it is a major game changer for the whole country all at once.
It sure is. I'd like to actually read a couple of scriptures. This is from Revelation 13. It says, "And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name." And for all y'all that have taken a hermeneutics course, you know that when it comes to prophecy, when it's given, we don't know if it's good or bad. And I think most people have chosen that the mark of the beast prophecy is bad. They're trying to avoid it. And I think it's clear that when I look at Ozempic now, it's kind of given me eyes to see that it could be the mark that helps all of us go into beast mode for the kingdom. It's clearly going to be like a new currency. I mean, this is serious stuff. This isn't a bunch of fun-loving folks dancing around a Hollywood set celebrating diabetes with Jardiance. This is the end times right in front of us, and it's able to give us those heavenly bodies that will help us win the Armageddon and take us to our heavenly dwellings without a whole lot of anxiety. I can give this 4 out of 4 horsemen, in my opinion.
Whoa there. You got to keep those horse from trampling down the wheat on this one. I think you're right about being the new currency, because it's kind of like the one new medicine. You're not going to need doctors anymore. You just say, how many Ozempics do you want? Do you want a year's supply? Do you want 2 years' supply? Because it's like it makes you thin, cures your diabetes, and gives you all that kind of stuff, like that could really lead to a lot of simplification in our economy, a lot of simplification in our relationships to each other. I'm challenged here because I feel like this is the way it works, trying to make you not desire stuff, to release you from your desires. I think that's injectable Buddhism. And I think that anhedonia, as the condition is called, is directly opposed to everything we believe in as patriotic Amenikins. I mean, you got to be desiring like a madman to be a faithful patriotic Amenikin these days. And I'm thinking, are we saying the J6ers could have taken this drug, gave themselves some more impulse control, managed type 2 diabetes, weight loss, self-respect, broadened romantic prospects, family formation, etc., that would have kept them from beating up those cops? Not today, Lucipharma.
A very wise response. I always respect how deep you go with these things, TJ. So our next topic here on How Many Four Horsemen was about the presidential debate. Brother, how many four horsemen regarding the presidential debate performance?
I think, unfortunately, this is a pretty low caliber four horsemen, just because we had like the B team in there. But the thing we got to pay attention to is the accusations of witchcraft that accounted for President Trump's poor debate performance. People are saying They're putting spells on him. People are saying they're sending some confusion demons to him. People are saying there are, you know, all these like satanic rituals that all the covens full of witches, all the liberals, basically, you know, the liberal white wine get togethers they're having, they were doing this stuff. I think there's a lot to that. And I really think that whenever that witchcraft is attempted, it's so disgusting that our enemies would do that. But anyway, we did that too. But the witchcraft we attempted was really to going the other way, was trying to cast some spells on Kamala Harris to bring her performance down, and it must have gotten away from us. So I don't know if all that liberal stuff was happening, all that liberal witchcraft I was talking about was happening, but the stuff we did, I mean, we were drawing magic circles, we bought some Magic the Gathering playing collectible cards, we were trying to say some Harry Potter spells to enchant some brooms to sweep up around our little place here, and now our whole camp is basically haunted, and I think we had a little backfire and a little friendly fire that went against the candidate we were actually trying to help out by this.
Very true. I think some were quite critical of the way we approached it as they were watching us do these things. Like, why don't y'all just pray for a good debate? But I think, you know, this is the type of thing where you got to truly know what's going on in the spiritual world. And we tend to follow the most important biblical principle, and that being the ends justify the means. Yeah, it did kind of backfire on us. It did kind of backfire on us. But here's the thing. If someone ain't saved, how can we implore the Spirit to do something in them? You know, if we know that Kamala ain't saved, then most likely she's possessed. Then we need to help those who work with demons, you know, so that they can have that avenue right to her. So we feel that the debate performance blame in some ways lands on our shoulders for how the demons were getting revenge on us, perhaps by us trying to use the demons to attack Kamala. But in the end, I mean, she scored more points, and by those metrics, she won the debate. Is it a sign of the end times? I'm kind of seeing it as maybe a 1.5 horseman.
Yeah, kind of like one of those proto-Equus species that the pre-Clovis folks were riding around, where it's kind of a half horse where you get three of them together and you got a 1.5 horse. Man, I was suffering, though. I was suffering. It was like one of those, you know, Disney's Fantasia, Mickey Faust situations where you got brooms that keep on carrying water from one place to the other. I was getting all confused. You know, I think our camp is thoroughly haunted now, because we got this rain fly on our tent that's haunted now, and it just gets loose on one corner as soon as it starts to pour. Like, our generator's acting up. We had a string of bad luck at the craps table. I've been feeling weak and jittery, and our usual diet of Dunkin' light roast frappes hasn't given me the boost that I've needed. I can't tell you how close I've been to clicking on those cachava ads that I see every 5 minutes on my YouTubes. It's like desiccated residue from the hot chocolate factory floor, but man, this backfire and witchcraft has got me dragging.
Absolutely. I mean, if you looked at, after the debate, if you looked at our property, it looked like we were partying with the X-Men. There's fire still blazing. There's a bunch of playing cards strewn about like we were partying with Gambit. And it was wild, I'll tell you. All right, our last topic here on Four Horsemen is once again a topic that is right here in Las Vegas. I mean, the world revolves around the United States. United States revolves around Las Vegas. What we're hearing is that the UFC is preparing for an event in the Las Vegas sphere. Brother TJ, how many Four Horsemen you have on this event?
Well, just like everybody likes to talk about how the end of Roman civilization parallels the end of American civilization, we've got real gladiators in the arena, and I think they are just setting up the final showdown with the persecution of Christians. We are on a four horseman alarm fire here right now, I think, with the gladiators coming into the arena to start doing their thing.
I'm in total agreement, because I'm gonna also just say it right off the top. It's Four Horsemen, and if I could give it five, I would. You know, we all love a good UFC crowd, just some quality guys wearing Affliction t-shirts, yelling at their girlfriends in public, carrying a bad case of pink eye, limping around with bursitis in their knees while walking dogs on chains like he's some testosterone support animal. But the truth is, when I see President of the UFC, Mr. President Dana White, turning the Sphere of Las Vegas into a gladiator arena, my goodness, bam, faster than a Jorge Masvidal taking down Ben Askren, my mind goes, uh-oh, this is just setting the table, as you said, for the Antichrist to do a UFC rear naked choke on the Christians as the final persecution.
You know, when they don't even have to get the UFC people in there, let's say they just kind of bow out, like the honorable gladiator that Russell Crowe played a few years ago in that famous movie. They bow out of there, they don't do the terrible stuff, but the sphere is so set up that either inside or outside, you can show virtual terrors of any kind, and you could just have these beasts of every imaginable shape and size oppressing these Christians. And you don't even have to have beasts of prey, you could just set up some sort of weird hypersensory musical abuse, like having to hear ABBA play their album Voulez-Vous in its entirety, and you just are chained to your seat.
Oh man, there's no telling what they could do. I think we know this one thing's for sure, it's going to be used for purposes that are against Christians, and it's going to be used for purposes that are going to bring about the end time. So there's different schools of thought about who's going to actually be persecuted. And I'm trying to figure out, do I want to go home to glory in that thing? Do I need to brush up on my own jujitsu, do some stand-up boxing, maybe some kickboxing, mix some of that in there just to be ready? Or will I have already been raptured out? And I think that's a heavier topic for another time. But as you said, just dripping with horsemen this year topic.
And, you know, they may go the torture route, that kind of persecution. They may go that way, or they may bore people to death too. Because I heard, like, when the Grateful Dead were there, that they just used the images on the screen to replace all the drugs people used to do. And now it's just like a bunch of old guys taking a bunch of Aleve, Humira, brexpiprazole, and some corticosteroid shots in the joints and getting babysat by John Mayer while they kind of struggle through their songs. So I think there could be a bored to death scenario for the persecution, as well as a terrified to death situation. So either way, it's death. And I don't think I'd be nearly as grateful as that band is to have John Mayer.
Well, that's all we have for you folks today. Thank you for being with us. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for praying for us. And now we're looking forward to seeing you face to face. We're so happy. And so tell all your friends, holy fans, it's going to be fantastic. For my brother TJ, I'm Rudy, and we're signing off.